Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. I'm joined by one of our old co-hosts, Jim Graham. You can call in just like Jim did, 844-305-7800, or email us questions at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com. This is the Passionate Radio Show, the second hour of it today. There are 2 hours. You can get either hour at RadioMD.com if you're out of your local radio station's network. If they only carry 1 hour, ask them to carry the other hour, even at a weird time. And, of course, always available on iHeartRadio, the podcast of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We just finished with Sean Stevenson, Sleep Smarter, 21 Essential Strategies to Sleep Your Way to a Better Body, Better Health, and Bigger Success. This is a really well-documented, well-researched book. And, Jim, you had a question that is much like Muriel's. Go ahead.
Yeah, my question was, I'm at that age right now that with that male problem where I'm up at night all the time heading to the head. You know, I have that prostate problem, and I'm up maybe 3-4 times a night sometimes. And sometimes it's really tough to get back to sleep. How do I solve that problem? How do I get back to sleep quicker so I can get a full night's rest?
Well, it turns out that one of the secrets for a full night's rest is, in fact, not when you get up, is not having your brain woken up. So one of the secrets for that is using red wavelength light. So in other words, when white wavelength, or blue actually wavelength, strikes your brain, it triggers a different reaction in it, which keeps you awake. But your brain, those segments that keep you awake, don't see red wavelengths. So you can go to, I think it is Costco and probably Walmart now, sells red wavelength only night lights. So you light your bathroom with only the red wavelength at night. And your bedroom, put it on so it just shines on the floor, that red wavelength, and then you don't get up. It's not just putting a red filter on your regular light bulb. It is actually getting one that emits only red wavelength light, and they are available. They're not even expensive. I have one in our bedroom as well, one in our bathroom, and it really, all guys over the age of 50 have that problem of getting up at least once a night, and it really doesn't disturb me because of that. And that's also the trick of not falling. You not only want to have a clear path to your bathroom at night, but you also want to have it illuminated so you can use your eyes and not have the problem getting back to sleep.
And I am definitely over 50 years old, Mike.
Okay, so Jim, what I want you to do, what I'm going to ask you to do, since you're up in Walmartville and BJ's Wholesale near Syracuse, New York, why don't you go and see if you can do it? I know you can do it on the internet. Go to Amazon.com and put in red wavelength light, and you can find all red wavelength night lights and can find all kinds of choices. But I'm really interested in seeing how well it is that you can see it at night. So
guess what,
let's
Mike?
See if you can do
guess
that.
What, Mike? As soon as the show's over, I'm going to do just that. I'm going to drive in. I'm only about 5 miles from Walmart, so I'll drive in and I'll pick a couple of those lights up, and I'll report back to you next week and let you know exactly how it works out.
Fantastic. So I did that on Google right just now, and there are a lot of companies that sell it. So you can find that at a lot of places on the web. It's called Low Blue Nightlight. That says it's bulletproof as well. That sells for $15. I know I got one for under $5.
Okay.
Here's one that sells a pack of two. So you can find these pretty easily. I don't know. It's one of the studies. Red hamsters exposed to red light at night have significantly less sleep disturbances.
Oh, good.
Gosh. Anyway,
oh, good. Now your hamster will sleep better.
Now
you're linking me to a hamster, huh, Mike? Great. You know, I always like
anyway,
you,
Mike. You can always call us with questions at 1-844, it's free call, 844-305-7800, or email us at udocs, y-o-u-d-o-c-s at gmail.com, y-o-u-d-o-c-s at gmail.com. One of the top stories this week was on marijuana and what happens to kids who, by their age of 18 to 20, when they question them, had used marijuana 50 times or more. They call those heavy users. And what happened is they followed 45,000 people in, I think it was, Sweden, who had done this. And of the 45,000 men who had they questioned, some had done this, some hadn't. They looked at the differences over the next, I can't believe it, it was 42-year follow-up period. So the study started in 1969, and they looked through 2010, and it turns out that 4,500 of the men had died, and of those who had died, they were, if you will, 40% more likely to die by 60 if they had used heavy marijuana in their years before age 20. That's amazing. 40% more likely to die, which makes their real age essentially 10 years older. So instead of being 60, they were the equivalent of 70 and had a 40% greater chance of dying. There are other studies that look at heavy marijuana use in high school that show it costs you 8 IQ points when tested at age 25. So this is a very big deal. If you're going to use marijuana as a, if you will, way of relaxing, etc., try and wait till you're age 21, especially if you're a guy, because your brain develops. Guys' brains finish development later than women's. So apparently you've got to wait and then try not to get too addicted to it. I do believe it has many of the same addictive properties, and if you're smoking it, it has one joint is the equivalent of four cigarettes from a health effect on just your tar, nicotine, and cancer rates. So it is not healthy in that sense. Jim, did you have a follow-up question? Good. He's gone. I'm sorry. So anyone can call us, 844. There is someone on the call line, and I can't get it, Ben, but it's 844-305-7800, 844-305-7800, or email us questions at udocs, y-o-u-d-o-c-s, at gmail.com. Gary Ginsberg, when he comes back, there are some really excellent topics that he's going to get to with us. Sunscreen ingredients disrupt sperm function. One does not. What do you want in your sunscreen so it doesn't disrupt your sperm function? Baby's exposure to arsenic triples. If they're eating infant rice cereal, what do you do about it? And does it matter? Cities try to rein in dog poop. Why is that, Gary? And fast food injection increases plasticizer exposure. And of course, the other one that I thought was interesting, coal tar-based seal coats in driveways and parking lots are far more toxic than they've been previously suspected to be. Those are the top questions and the top, if you will, news of the week for Gary Ginsberg, What's Toxic, What's Not, on You, the Owner's Manual, coming up very shortly. Also, Zika has gone wild. That's right, 570 cases of it now in that we know of. And we'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
OwnerMD.com. It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, the passionate show that helps you take control of your health so you and your family can live at the top of your curve till near the end. Gary Ginsberg is with us in my favorite segment of the show because Gary always teaches me so much. Okay, Gary, fast food ingestion increases plasticizer exposure. What difference does it make?
Well, the plasticizer that they were monitoring in people's urine is DEHP, or diethylhexylphthalate, which we have recognized for a number of years as an endocrine disruptor, especially knocking down male characteristics, both if there's in utero exposure. So for theoretically, Mike, if a pregnant woman ate a steady diet of takeaway fast food or in-store fast food, but we think the packaging, the plastic containers, as well as the gloves being handled by fast food preparers back at the factory, the PVC gloves, but also in the stores themselves, can all be contributors to this plasticizer spreading into the food. And so I can't tell you sitting here exactly how much of a difference it would make for a pregnant woman and her baby boy especially. But, you know, there could be we're talking here about a 30 or 40% increase in plasticizer exposure that it would be better if there wasn't. Let's put it that way. These are endocrine disruptive chemicals, and there is a background level of exposure to it in our diet to start with. And in this study, across 9,000 U.S. subjects, by the way, so a very large study, looked at dietary recall, who ate fast food, who didn't. And those people who ate fast food in the last 2 days definitely had higher urinary levels. So amongst all the other variables and factors, it looks like fast food can give you a higher dose of endocrine disruptive plasticizer, which does make some sense between the packaging and the glove handling. So, it doesn't mean never with that.
And what I wanted to bring up is
moderate these things. Yes.
Right. And in fact, when you put these plasticizers in and the plastics from them into a ocean or lake stream, that is a quiet stream, you really change the male to female ratio of the babies of the childhood frogs and toads and tadpoles born, and that really makes a huge difference. Let's talk about the story on fast food. I'm sorry, about baby exposure to arsenic triples if the infant is eating rice cereal.
Right. Yeah, so we've talked about this before, but I never had a quantitative feel for how big a difference that this jar of rice cereal, baby's first food, solid food, could make on the overall exposure to that infant relative to background levels. And so this study of about 750 children in New Hampshire found that if the families were using infant rice cereal, the baby's urinary arsenic level was 3 times higher than background. And if instead, you know, in slightly older children, the foods were not, the rice cereal per se, but were based upon rice syrup or rice snacks. I'm not exactly sure what all the snack foods were, but if it contains rice cereal, the babies had double the levels of arsenic. So look, you know, arsenic, especially inorganic forms of arsenic, are highly toxic. The less the better kind of thing. It's sort of like with lead, the less the better. And if there is a way to decrease your infant's exposure to arsenic, you know, this is clearly one area to think about not using, you know, the rice cereal or just minimizing. And by the way, Mike, in this study, 80% of families were using baby rice cereal. Of all the cereals they could have picked, 80% were choosing the rice cereal. So it is quite high. And the American Academy of Pediatrics has told parents that they should be using a diversity of first foods for infants. It's not just the hypoallergenic factor, which is why rice was always recommended. But now there's a bunch of hypoallergenic baby foods out there. You don't have to use rice. So that's the major suggestion coming out of this study, is really diversify infants' first foods. Don't use the rice exclusively, that's for sure. And also look for rice syrup on a package, because that will have some arsenic in it.
Now let's talk about the, if you will, the story about cities are trying to rein in dog poop.
Yeah, I find this fascinating. You know, it's not a quote-unquote toxic, it's more of a biological, bacteriological, as well as yuck factor story. But, you know, who wants to be walking in streets like I have seen in Paris, where the dog poop just doesn't get picked up? It rains, people step in it, it gets smeared everywhere, and nobody takes responsibility. And a lot of these cities, it's not that the dogs are just loose, but that there are people who are lazy or just ignore the law. So what cities have been doing, very interesting tactics. I thought the listeners would be interested in this. Could happen to you if you let your dog poop and don't pick it up. Some places will actually DNA test the feces and DNA test dogs and return the feces with a fine to the owner. Apartment buildings have been known to do DNA testing on the poop, as well as on all the dogs in the building and nail people. Some places are not only fining you, but requiring you to clean the streets for a few days as a part of the city volunteer work crew. Mailing poop through the mail to offenders is now starting to happen, as well as very steep fines, $1,000 per event. So, as a dog owner and dog lover myself, I think it's a great thing, especially for us who walk city streets and run and jog these streets and ride bicycles and take little kids walking around in inner city streets, that you really don't need to have the ripe odor in these neighborhoods. And it's up to everyone to do the right thing, and, you know, good on these urban environments for forcing the issue. More of that should happen, as well as, and by the way, the best city for picking up dog poop, the people in England, London, were the most fastidious. Paris was worse. United States came in about third. Madrid came in about eighth. So there you go.
Let me ask you now about the one that I really care about. That is sunscreen and sperm function. What does this mean?
Well, yeah, people are going to be thinking about which kind of sunblock to put on, and as the weather gets sunnier and warmer. And so there has been a suspicion for a number of years now that some of the ingredients in sunblock are endocrine disruptive. There's those two words again together. And in this case, also anti-male effective. We just talked about the plasticizer in fast food. Well, this was a study, kind of unusual, but they studied ingredients in sunblock or dilutions of sunblock incubated with semen. And they looked at the sperm cells, the live sperm cells, and their metabolic and biological behavior, and found that 45% of the ingredients on the market today in the what we call the organic type or of UV blocker. So we're not talking about now titanium and zinc, which is the inorganic. There's no carbon associated with the UV blocker in those cases, but the oxybenzone, the benzophenone, the avobenzone, these are sort of looking like estrogen a bit to the body. They're environmental phenols, which has a somewhat estrogenic type of structure, and they were actually able to affect sperm behavior in these test tube incubations. What exactly that means inside the body, we don't know, because we don't know how much. We do know that these chemicals get absorbed. We do know that they do distribute.
Okay, I promise, Gary, one quick segment on this is use zinc dioxide. It seems to work without the endocrine disruptor effect. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and next week for more Gary Ginsberg, whatstoxic.com.
And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen.
And, of course, you can call us to find out more about the subjects we cover at UDOCS, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S at gmail.com. That's not a call, that's an email. Or you can call us at 1-844-IT'S-FREE, 305-7800, 844-305-7800, as Jim did. In fact, Jim, you had more follow-up on, in fact, I understand, the question on marijuana use and its shortening life expectancy. So yeah. This was people, 50 people, who 50 men, this is men, sorry, who 4,500 people, 4,500 of them, of the, no, it is men. 4,000 men died out of the 45,000 studied in Sweden. And the ones that used marijuana 50 or more times before age 20 died at a rate that was 40% greater than those over, than those who didn't. And the, not only did they die faster, which means they're equivalent of 10 years older, but they also, in other studies, have had 8 points less IQ. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay. The first thought that came to my mind when you mentioned that, that age range, smoking marijuana, I was wondering how many, what percentage of those were as a result of a car accident while smoking marijuana, or maybe killing somebody else that maybe was smoking marijuana, which probably would have figured into the percentage, right? So if a guy was smoking marijuana, was between age A and B, and he runs into a tree because he's stoned, was that figured into the number, or was it all strictly done through biopsies and checking the function of the body?
This was looking at, were they still alive or not? These are people, so in 1969 or 70, they answered the question, and then they looked at all causes of death. If they had died from being stoned and they died of an auto accident, they die that way. And so, yes, it would have covered them as well and been, covered in the data. But if they had killed someone who wasn't a heavy user at the same time, that is, if they had run over someone, that person they ran over would have been in the non-smoking group.
Right, right. And, you know, there was one other question, and I'll let you get right back to what you're doing because you're doing a great job. There was a question that kind of intrigued me. All my life, my blood pressure has been about 120 over 60 or so, and they've always told me that was optimal. That was the great blood pressure. But now I read where 140 over 80 is the optimal blood pressure. Why is that?
No. 115 over 75, if you have it your whole life, is the optimal blood pressure. So let's get it clear. 115 over 75. On the other hand, if you have had high blood pressure, that is, your blood pressure has been high, and it gets treated, then the 140 over 80 is an optimal for people who've had blood pressure much higher, and you bring it down. Presumably, because the blood, you need a higher pressure, you've adapted to a higher pressure to shove it through your areas. I don't know if that makes any sense, Jim.
Yes, it does. But I was just kind of curious because I see things every once in a while in the paper or online, and I'm just wondering why they would switch the numbers, because that would tend to confuse a lot of people.
I would not believe everything you read.
Well, absolutely. That's why I'm asking you, because you're the expert on the subject. And I thank you very much, Dr. Mike.
It's my privilege. Thank you for calling, and thank you for the question. The point I am bringing up on this is exactly the one that Jim is asking, that you need to be very careful about your blood pressure. You need to start measuring it. Maybe it is as early as age 10, especially with weight getting higher and us getting bigger. That's one of the things that increases high blood pressure. And by the way, we had Sean Stevenson, the book Sleep Smarter, on earlier. Well, not sleeping as well and snoring are things that raise your blood pressure as well. So, in fact, Jim, I appreciate your question very much. And the next item I want to cover is one that is really quite interesting to me. This is adult postmenopausal women who have type 2 diabetes, have a higher blood sugar. Well, they also have a higher risk. How high? Of invasive cancer and cancer deaths, a 40% increase. That is, sugar causes any cancer to become more aggressive. So a higher blood sugar, we know, is one of the things that causes cancer to get more aggressive. And the good news is metformin treatment to normalize your blood sugar, normalize this risk in women who have type 2 diabetes. So even if you've got it genetically and haven't watched it, the message is controlling your blood sugar helps you control. So you should never have those sugar drinks, never have added syrups or sugars. Those are things that increase the what I would call the aggressiveness of your cancer in its growing. Jim, and I don't think we have Jim on the board anymore.
Yeah, I'm
so
here,
I
Mike.
Apologize, but
I'm here, Mike.
Okay, so one of the things that is true is just like you said with blood pressure, the earlier you treat these things, much better to get control of them very early, so that you can manage them and have no problems with them for your whole life. I don't know if that's a good enough summary.
I want to bring up that right now because, as you know, my wife passed away from lung cancer. And I'll tell you what she was. She was addicted to gumdrops, and she ate a lot of gumdrops. Do you suppose, and she didn't have diabetes, but even if you don't have diabetes, are you saying that sugar adds to the aggressiveness of the cancer cells? It feeds on the sugar?
Yeah, sugar does. Sugar, in other words, the blood sugar level you have somehow feeds cancers. We aren't sure the mechanism yet, at least in my mind, but it feeds cancers and causes them to grow faster. That's right.
Well, that's really, really interesting, because if I'd have known that, I'd have taken them all away from her a long time ago, you know. So... Yeah, that's very interesting, Mike.
Well,
they've come up with a lot of research.
So one of the things you...
Go ahead.
One of the things you can do, Jim, is not, in fact, how do I say this, is not have gumdrops that have sugar in them. So you can have sugar substitutes, and apparently... those have much lower risk. So there are some hard, if you will, I guess lifesavers with artificial, that is, with leaf stevia, made with leaf stevia, and I don't know whether they're lifesavers or something else, but made with leaf stevia, that seems to be much less hazardous to your health. So,
well, from what you're telling me, anything that's sugar-free is a lot better for you. Put it very simply, right?
Absolutely. That's how I would do it. We'll be right back in You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD, where we hope you will stay well. When we come back, we're going to wrap up and tell you every one of the stories, as well as discuss the real issues that are key, and one more great story. We'll be.
And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. I wanted to bring up, since we have questions from listeners about one of the things we talked about earlier, I wanted to re-emphasize the item, and that is sunscreen, and sunscreens disrupt sperm function, and is that a problem? And the answer is it is a problem, but it's only a problem if you're not using what we call mechanical sunscreens. That is, the chemical sunscreen ingredients all seem to disrupt sperm function, disrupt endocrine function, and cause more female babies to be born than males. And it's more of a problem than just the numbers. It's a problem of causing disruption in endocrine function and who will survive and do well. So that's why I am bringing that subject up. One sunscreen, one doesn't. The sunscreen ingredient that doesn't is the zinc oxide. So you want micronized zinc oxide. It's a physical block. You want it micronized so it's not in a creamy thing that gums up or oils up everything. It's micronized so you don't see it as a white, you know, as that heavy white cream cheese-like thing. You see it normally, and that is the one that is healthy. So that's what I do, and thank you for asking the questions. Sugar feeds a lot of bad stuff, Muriel says, and she's absolutely right. It feeds LDL increases. It feeds triglyceride increases, increasing heart disease and cancer. It feeds the cancer itself, and it also feeds inflammation, causing you to have inflammation throughout your body, including in your belly, so you get fatter from just pure sugar. And she also writes the poop dog story. Yeah, the poop dog story is one of pick up your dog's poop or don't have a dog that poops any place near where you can get other people to get it. Michelle also asked a series of great questions, so thank you, Don, for asking, for talking about Denmark and the ethics of red meat. Muriel, Michelle, Donna, and Muriel again, and of course Jim Graham, who called. Anyone can call and talk to us, 844-305-7800. 844-305-7800 is how you get in touch with us. Let me go and talk about the 8 best stories of the day. I did it, I'll count down. So number 8. One doesn't sunscreen ingredients disrupt sperm function. The one that doesn't, of course, is the one we talked about, that is zinc oxide micronized. Coal tar seal coats on driveways, parking lots, far more toxic than suspected. Check with, if you're going to get your driveway sealed or your parking lot sealed, check with what it is and then get this story from the University of Oregon. Fast food ingestion increases pesticide exposure. Yes, fast food ingestion, whether due to the fast foods or the receipts you're taking or touching your hand to the receipt and then to the fast food, dramatically increases pesticide exposure, again, causing endocrine disruption and promoting cancer. Does turmeric have proven health benefits? Well, we're going to save that story for next week because we didn't even talk about it. The FDA urges caution on yeast infection drug during pregnancy. Fluconazole or difluclan, the most common treatment of vaginal yeast, is in fact, looks like it increases miscarriages and increases abortion rates, or increases fetal death rates substantially, but we don't have enough data. Heavy teen marijuana use may cut off your life short by 10 years. That is, if you look at the kids who used it before age 20 and used it heavily, not only did they have an 8-point decrease in their IQs, that's really big, 8-point loss in IQ power, but their life was cut short, 40% more deaths by age 60, which means they effectually function, that is 50 uses of heavy marijuana, made them 10 years older. Smoking does the same thing. It's about 10 years older. So the people who used marijuana and smoked had this great, much greater increase in death rate. 1 minute of all-out exercise may have benefits. This wasn't really, this is a worrisome headline because it really isn't quite the right headline. The right headline should be, if you will, that 1 minute of heavy exercise, 1 minute of intense exercise in every 10 minutes. All you have to do it is three times a week, 10 minutes of exercise three times a week with 20 seconds intense after a warm-up period. Warm down for 2 minutes, intense for 20 seconds, warm down for 2 minutes, intense for 20 seconds, then a 3 minute warm down period. That those intense exercise periods were as beneficial. Now, we don't know to longevity, we don't know to long-term chronic disease prevention, but we do know acutely it looks like they did as well as, in fact, as well as the longer exercise function that was in these people who did the experiment. There were only 25 young kids. So we don't know. This is a young kids study. We don't know if it'll hold for the old, but it looks really good from a data standpoint, if you will, looking at it. So hopefully we will find out more answers. Now, the one that I wanted to bring up again was that the top story of the week is, in fact, on metformin. And that study is on what happens with metformin in these people who had high blood sugars. And the answer is that postmenopausal women with high blood sugar had a death rate from cancer that was twice the death rate, if you will, from cancer as postmenopausal women without diabetes. We think it's related to the high blood sugar level, and that high blood sugar level is a real risk to the whole population. They gave them metformin, which helps control the blood sugar level, and it reversed the increase in death rate that, in fact, the postmenopausal women had from cancer. So, major message, if you have a chronic disease, get it controlled early. That's the most important part of the message. And the second part of it is that you get to take control, whether it is blood pressure or blood sugar, taking control of your area of, if you will, risk is a very important thing for you and for everyone else to do. We'll be right back next week on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We look forward to talking to you then. Stay well.